And this is a lesson to me as to how to deal with them the next time that comes around. But the point I want to make here is that it is futile and totally frustrating to make any attempt to suppress it, but rather to recognize what it is that has caused it, which is a vulnerability that you don't like, and the fact that the vulnerability has come due. So if you find that after getting this attitude, you still cannot control it when the vulnerability comes due, then your only course of action is to wipe out the vulnerability entirely because you can't deal with it. The nature of you that you still don't understand, that's deeper yet, says that you can't even take the attitude that you understand what is happening, therefore it doesn't cause you to react emotionally. And then there's no point in saying, well, Harry Brown said that you ought to be able to have the right attitude when the vulnerability comes due. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's the nature of you. You may want to go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a doctor to investigate what is peculiar about you that means that you can't do something that apparently somebody else said he could do. Is it something in you? But the point is, in the meantime, you recognize yourself as you are and say, apparently the only way I can handle this is to not even get vulnerable in the first place. Or to take the attitude, well, I'm going to continue to get angry because it is cheaper to get angry than to avoid all vulnerabilities. But it becomes, the point I'm getting at, of course, is that it becomes totally a preventable thing and not a curing.
Are you trying to tell us how you become invulnerable to everything?
No.
So now I'm real curious.
No. And which is part of the impression that was left and is now being, I hope, dispelled to a certain extent. And this is why Dr. Kendall said last week, you know, your view of reality is stay away from it. Get behind a wall and hide. Which is not what I'm saying. You will be vulnerable. But your understanding of what is involved and what is at stake neutralizes the emotional reaction that you would have to it. So that when the vulnerability comes due and somebody says, all right, you knew that this note was payable on demand and here I am demanding, you don't suddenly fly in a tizzy because you had already recognized in advance that this was possible and you had created a second alternative. Clearly not as good as the first, or you would be practicing the second. You're still relying on the first as long as it's available, but because it's out of your control, you had a second alternative ready. You had visualized it in advance. You didn't say that this second alternative is now going to happen. You merely said that if what somebody else controls comes due in such a way that the first is no longer available to me, I am ready now to act upon the second. And this is where you neutralize your emotional response to it. But you're not eliminating the vulnerability.
I think it's in order to amend this connection and this discussion of prayer that scientific medical men, as I understand it, recognize the fact that often scientific medical treatment is not what saves the patient, but it's the patient's determination to live or that person's prayer that wins the battle rather than the symptoms.
This, if it is proven to their satisfaction, would be certainly an important element they would want to take into consideration in any future acts. But what they would want to do would be to identify the relevant factor involved. And if it is the determination that has taken place, and suppose I am suppose I am a doctor and a patient comes to me that I don't know, who has no confidence in my philosophy, no reason to have, but he has confidence in me as a doctor and my experience as a doctor. All right, I see that in this particular case, my own experience indicates that the patient's determination will be a very important factor. Well, with all I know about this patient and all he knows about me, we are not going to be able to communicate in any great depth. We'll be communicating very superficially. I do not expect to make great mental changes in his life because to do so would be unrealistic on my part. So I might ask him, do you pray? And if he says, yes, I pray, I might suggest to him that you go ahead and pray. I'm not going to try to reorient his life on the spot because I don't think that prayer in its form that he will probably practice it is the fully most relevant way of going about it. But because it is the method or the technique that is already established within him to provide the determination, which is the factor that I might subjectively think is the most important element here, then I am in effect saying by whatever method you have to get that determination, do so. But I probably wouldn't even state it in those terms. But if I knew the individual did not necessarily use prayer as that, I would not suggest that he do so. I would rather want to take that opportunity to get right away to the most relevant thing. Do you want to live or don't you? If you have any desire at all to live, the more you can strengthen that desire, the more effect it's going to have and so forth. This is what we have found medically, etc. So the point is, again, to determine what is the relevant factor that is at work.